You're listening to Called to Homeschool, episode number 50.
This is your manual to becoming the amazing homeschool mom you were called to be.
Hello.
We're so excited to be back with you guys. We are on episode number 50, which makes us at 1 year because we took some time off for the holidays. But we are pretty excited.
We were actually just looking at the growth of it. We've had over 33,000 listens and downloads
in the year. That's pretty awesome
and
for our brand new podcast. We're pretty proud of ourselves and of you guys for following along. And it's been a fun journey for us so far.
Well, I think it's been fun too to hear people saying that they've had the courage to homeschool. Mm-hmm. Like somebody on our Instagram hopped on and said, thank you for the recommendations. They did the Good and the Beautiful Language Arts.
Oh, that's cool.
And so she had planned to take her kids out at the end of the year, but because of circumstances, she took them out sooner. So having the support system of our podcast. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
we love you guys. Thanks for listening.
And we're happy that it's making a difference in your lives. So thanks for your comments and your suggestions through the year too to help us fit your lives better.
Yeah. And all the shares, we love that.
Mm-hmm. So today's topic is,
we're going to tell you the worst thing a mom can ever hear in her day. What do you think it is?
Well, I know.
Yeah.
I'm bored.
You have to say it like that.
What can I do? I'm bored.
Mom, I'm so bored.
Yes. So that's what we're talking about with you guys today.
Oh my gosh. What
the
is
the art of boredom?
Like, what do you think of when if you're
oh,
like,
it drives me crazy. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Like an annoyance is, yeah. Hi, bored. I'm mom.
Karen. Yeah.
It's like a dad joke.
I'm good at dad jokes.
Yeah.
My dad was good at dad jokes.
That's awesome.
No, but for reals, it's usually an obnoxious thing to hear your kids say. And when I hear it, I usually say, okay, let's get some work done. Then I've got some chores that you can do or whatever. I don't know.
Well, it's interesting. So I had I feel like my kids, the oldest five, were raised as one child, right? And then we have Briggy's by himself and George will be by himself.
Yeah.
So we kind of already did the board thing and kind of figured it out. And now Brigham's entering it.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's been coming up a lot at our house of learning how to be bored. Because when did we as a culture decide that boredom was a bad thing?
I don't know. It's interesting, isn't it? We hate it. Like people hate to be bored. They always want to be busy and doing. And I think our kids, or mostly youth and children these days, don't know how to be bored. They just can't handle it. And I think some reasons why are because of how much structure we have in our lives. Our mm-hmm. our lives are so filled and so structured and planned to the minute that these kids don't even have any downtime in their lives and don't have any time to be bored. They don't have time for it. And we're so used to such a fast pace, not only in our lives and our activities, but with games and movies and everything is instant gratification.
Well, I was going to say, we laughed about this with our kids one day that we had to go to Blockbuster or Hollywood Video. That was another big one,
and
right?
Sometimes the videos we wanted weren't there.
Right. And so like first you had to drive there and then you had to hope it was there and then you could watch it. Then you had to hurry and get it back.
Yeah.
And so just to watch a movie,
you know, you'd have to go and buy a CD if you wanted a song. And now it's like, oh, just look on your phone. There it is. You know, and you can have our Apple Music. So we just click and it's there. You don't even have to pay for it at the moment. And everything is so quick and so instant and given to you as soon as you want it. And so that's just what we're used to. You know, our fast food drive-thrus, if it takes more than 30 seconds, we're annoyed. And if the website doesn't load in 3 seconds, we're annoyed.
That's funny.
And all of these things that are just so fast and easy for us that we don't know how to slow down anymore.
Well, even Amazon Prime, when like things come in a day now sometimes, and you're like,
delayed, if it's like a 4-day delivery, it's the worst thing in the world because we didn't order it in time usually. But
yeah,
I know it's everything's that way. And so I think there's just a lot of factors that have led to that, that don't allow us we don't know how to be bored.
Yeah. It's kind of sad. The average child in America watches 2 to 5 hours of TV a day.
I think that's really sad.
Well, especially if you add in that they're probably in school too. So they're watching
school
in the
for
morning.
7-8 hours,
yeah.
Come home, watch TV for the rest of the day. And then what? They go to bed.
Right.
There's
and
your
so,
day.
Yeah. It's
or
so
sports or whatever other extracurricular they're filled with in those extra minutes of their day too. So there's just not a lot of time for kids to just have downtime.
Yeah. So they don't really know how to be bored anymore. And right. So we're going to share some things of why is it even great? Why, like the art of being bored, mm-hmm. why is it so good to have boredom?
Yeah. So there's a lot of benefits to boredom, like really a lot of them. Did you know that? I think it's cool. So it's really good for kids to learn how to entertain themselves. I've noticed when friends or cousins sometimes come over to play with my children and they come to me constantly telling me they're bored. These kids, my kids rarely tell me they're bored.
Yeah.
It's almost never. I don't notice it very often, but these other children that come into my house are not used to our pace of life, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not entertaining or my not children all the, time, all the time. Or we rarely have our TV on and we don't have video games that they play. And so they'll come over and they don't really quite know how to entertain themselves or what to do with themselves. And so they're telling me they're bored often. And I think those children are very used to a filled life, and ours is a little less filled than most. But I like that. I prefer that.
Yeah.
That's kind of one of my favorite parts about our lives are the fact that we have time for my kids to go out in the backyard and play, and they build forts in our bushes and they carve sticks and, mm-hmm. you know, they do things that kind of more old fashioned stuff to entertain themselves.
Yeah.
But it's really good for them. And on cold or rainy days when they're inside, we have craft bins and they pull things out and they create things. Not out of my instigation. Like they just come up with something in their mind. Like my little 5-year-old, she's 6, I guess now, 6-year-old is constantly just making things out of pipe cleaners and papers and just making, and all out of her own creativity. And those are some benefits that come from learning how to just be bored and to use your time to learn how to entertain yourself.
Yeah. But also I believe I was reading it with Steve Jobs was saying like, you have to have time for your, he walked every day, I believe, mm-hmm. and just time to wander, to think up ideas. Mm-hmm. And so if you were just constantly, and it was funny when I ran this morning, I actually took out my music because I just wanted to think.
Yeah.
And because you can't have a thought and an idea if there's constantly
noise in your head
and noise.
I do that often when I'm running too, where I'll just go without, because I'm usually listening to a podcast or music or something or a book when I'm running, because it keeps my mind occupied. Yeah. So I don't think about the discomfort.
the excruciating pain.
So when I do take it out, I ran a race recently and I just took my headphones out and ran without it. It was the last one I did. And I had the best time, and the people around me were having conversations and I was thinking and I was noticing nature more. And there was just so much more going on in my mind. And I remember at the end thinking that was the most fun race I've ever run.
Yeah.
And I really think it was because I just didn't have something in my head constantly telling me what to do. So it does a lot for you to just let your mind wander and think.
Yeah, well, I even think, so when I was a kid, we would try to watch TV for as long as possible, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't have cable. Mm-hmm. So you had like 2 chunks of the day where you could watch television,
where there was something
right?
good on.
And then it was the judge shows or like all the weird just
right.
shows that came on.
Soap operas,
things that like I couldn't care less about. So we would go out and explore. Mm-hmm. So we grew up on a couple acres, right? And so we had some sheds. And we would climb them. We created clubs. Mm-hmm. We were in the trees.
Yeah.
Like we would call them adventuring. We'd always go adventuring and we would cut through old fields that just were big overgrown mm-hmm. grass fields. Right. And just have these amazing adventures.
See, and I have, my childhood is that way too. My memories of my childhood are outside play for the most part. And I grew up in Southern Florida where you could play outside all year round. And we had very few structured activities in our lives growing up. We had a large family and my parents really couldn't afford a lot of lessons and things. So we just really didn't do them. And I think I was outside 95% of my childhood. I would climb trees and ride my bike everywhere. We would splash in puddles. We would catch fish and crabs and lizards and turtles and anything else we could find. I remember stubbing my toe like once a week and skinning my knees constantly, but it was just like a part of my childhood and my life. And I feel like I learned so much. You know, I talk to my kids about all these animals I know about and about all these plants that I know about because that was my childhood. You know, I was in them and I was doing it. And I think that it's so good for your mind and it's so good to help you develop creativity and your imagination. We had all these games that we would play and it was so much fun. And I feel like childhood is a lot less of that these days.
Well, and part of the reason is because we're so afraid.
Yeah.
We're so afraid.
There's a fear of letting kids play outside unsupervised.
Yeah. And so it's so interesting with social media. Mm-hmm. And you can see this right now with the coronavirus scare that people are freaking out and completely buying out toilet paper and water in Utah for some reason. All the toilet paper is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And
that way all across the country, I've heard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, but like somebody put the stats of in the United States, I think one person's passed away. Is it even that
I think we're up to more than that, maybe 20.
Five? Is it? Okay.
Mm-hmm. But still. It's
still awful.
In the whole country like, of, what,
300 million?
Millions of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's like, this is how many people just die of regular flu a year. And this is how many people die of cancer. And so anyways, we have social media bombard us.
Mm-hmm.
So we think like there will be a story of a kidnapping. And we're like, oh my gosh, everybody wants to kidnap my child now. But I went and researched some of the stats. And it is actually the safest time to be a child ever in the history of the United States. So missing children is down by 40%.
Wow.
And of that 40%, 96% of the missing children are runaways.
That's huge.
So you have 4%. And even of that 4%, some of them are custody battles. So it is a very, very low number of an actual child abduction in the United States. I'm not talking globally, right?
Mm-hmm.
Child mortality rates have decreased by nearly half. Kids getting hit by cars has decreased by 2/3.
Wow.
So like, don't ride your bike, right? You're going to get hit by a car. So cars have tons of features now where they just stop. You have cameras, you have all these mirrors, all these gadgets in your car. So kids aren't even getting hit as much now, right? So when we were a kid, that's saying that 40% more people were being abducted or hit or dying, but because of we're just safer, right? But because of social media and the internet,
it feels like it's the opposite. You know, you hear just all these dangers, and so you worry about letting your kids outside and letting them roam and wander as much. And but also there's the fear of like being reported as an unfit parent or, you know, things like that come up as well. But I do think we have a lot of fears of letting this happen.
Yes. And so what happens then, like, don't go outside, but if they're in the house, then you're like, well, now you're just making a mess in the house. So it seems easier to just turn on the TV,
right?
To just say, fine, play video games. Mm-hmm. Here's a phone, go just check out on YouTube.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's kind of this paradigm shift of like trusting that things are going to happen the way they're supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's okay for kids to get hurt and scrape up their knees and fall on their bikes. And
yeah,
like it's
okay.
I think I may have even talked about this. One of my son's friends fell out of our tree. Did I talk about that before? They decided it'd be a really good idea to build a clubhouse and then build a swing up in it.
Yeah.
And Porter tried it first to make sure it was safe, which actually broke it. And then his buddy went on it and then his weight broke it. So he fell maybe 10, 15 feet out of this tree. And his mom, I had to call his mom, which was like the worst phone call ever. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, hey, your kid's scary. Okay. And I will pay for the hospital, but... And she goes, he has a major respect for gravity now. You know what I mean? And she was so cool about it. And she was like, kids need to fall out of trees sometimes. They need to figure out how things work.
It's true.
Breaking your arms, you figure out like, oh, that doesn't work so well. But there's something in being able to be daring and challenging yourself. There's a lot of growth in that.
Mm-hmm. And curiosity, I think, is really a big part of the boredom. My kids use their curiosity a lot to figure out how things work and what will happen and what if, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's really good for them.
So I recently finished a book, and I think you've listened to it before, right?
I have, yeah.
Okay, of Simplicity Parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember his name. I want to say it's Kim because
I can't remember either. We'll get it.
Okay, it'll be in there. So Simplicity Parenting. And he talks about some ways of kind of helping simplify your lives and allowing some of that boredom to creep in. And he's actually even talking about most of his clients, both of the parents work.
Yeah.
And so I think it's even easier with homeschool moms to make this happen.
Right. Yeah.
So his first one is clearing out the clutter of toys, because sometimes it's so overwhelming with so many toys that you don't know how to be bored, because if you're bored, you just buy a new toy.
Mm-hmm. We've done that a lot in our house, where I know you guys don't have a lot of toys at all.
No, we don't.
But we have one shelf of toys and I don't let it go beyond that. And if we get more, then we have to get rid of some so they all fit on the one shelf. And I don't I just don't like a lot of toys. And the toys that I do get are ones that are, that allow for open-ended play. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like blocks or magnet tiles or things like that, that are, that they have to use their creativity to use.
Yeah.
Dolls, just simpler things that my kids can build and explore and use their creativity for.
Yeah. He loves simple dress ups, which is funny because mm-hmm. I have a whole bin of weird dress ups, and which is probably the favorite thing.
Oh, my kids love dress ups too. We have a big box of them.
Yes. And I just even love even weird old clothes of mine. Like I had a blazer and that's like a huge hit because, so it's not even necessarily a knight's outfit or a princess dress.
Yeah.
It's like random old clothes of mine that I'm like, yeah, I don't, but we could use this, you know, and you can just create the dress
that's
ups.
Funny.
And then art supplies, I think you have a ton of around.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely a good one.
Yeah, so just when they're inside, have some art supplies and create. I had my nephew lived with us for a week when his parents were out of town. Mm-hmm. And my kids were making their Valentine boxes. And he was seventh grade. And in public school, they don't do Valentines in seventh grade. Mm-hmm. And so he goes, well, can I just make something with a box? And he created a whole football stadium.
Oh, fun.
And like that's had cool. paper and the goalpost and everything.
That's
so
great.
Just allowing him the space, mm-hmm. like, yeah, here mm-hmm. are the knives and for the cardboard and scissors, right?
That's
he
funny.
Was, like I said, people are worried about their kids getting hurt. I apparently wasn't.
Well, when they reach a certain age, I think they're okay.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's funny.
So that's one of them. So with fewer distractions, their attentions expand mm-hmm. and their focus can deepen.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I have, you know, another list of my own of just simple ways to allow more boredom into your life. And they cross over with a lot of the same things from that book, but, just anything that's less structured, I think is a good thing when you're not like telling them what they have to do when, and even with the toys, like there are certain toys that play for you, like for instance a video game versus a set of blocks, mm-hmm. which one's going to allow more creativity and allow growth in their mind. Obviously the blocks would, because they, you know, they dream up what they're going to make and what they're going to do with them, whereas a video game dictates how you play.
Yeah, and you don't, and it can continue to go, and it shuts your mind down.
Mm-hmm.
Like a video game, you just kind of, you can tune it out, and same with the television,
right?
Like you just want to sit there longer.
Yeah. And yeah, so toys that are simple and open-ended. And then I think it's really important to allow your kids to be messy sometimes. That's mm-hmm. just sort of my thing, but it's okay for them to create a mess. You know, if they're doing crafts or if they're doing some kind of like Play-Doh or slime or, you know, things like that, that get messy. I actually think it's really good for kids to have that opportunity.
And I think that's where I need to work on, because my kids outside and creating.
Outside it's easy.
They're fine. But in the house, they're like, oh, mom's going to make us just clean this all up.
Yeah. Which they will have to clean well,
right,
up eventually.
But I think I could help foster that more
right.
of like, it's okay. Like I'm going to outside, but that's something that's bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's definitely an area for myself to work on, is kind of allowing those messes.
Well, and you can set limits if it's a bother, but I think it's good for kids to just get messy from time to time and not worry. I had a former family member, I guess now, an ex-wife of one of my kids or my siblings.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm stuttering here. Anyway, she won't listen to this, but she was very, very much of a clean freak. And like anytime her kids made any sort of mess, like a crumb dropped on the floor, they were yelled at. And so they were always in fear of doing anything like that. You know, they couldn't make messes. They couldn't get creative with things because they were afraid of the consequences of it. And so just don't be too harsh and too strict with your kids about things like that, because those messes are usually where the creativity is happening.
Yeah. The big forts and all
mm-hmm.
those fun things.
Mm-hmm.
I love what he says in the book, as you're talking about kind of cutting back on extra activities and whatnot as well, is activity without downtime is like a plant without roots. It's
mm-hmm.
unsustainable.
Mm-hmm.
And so kind of pulling back from those extracurricular activities and having so many organized things that
mm-hmm.
we're doing and
mm-hmm.
what we're doing.
And less technology is always a very good thing, because the more you give it, the less they're going to feel that boredom, right? And the less they're going to know how to be bored and to strengthen their minds in new ways.
Well, and it's interesting too, because you have advertisements in everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So even if you're not watching TV, in the movie, they have, you're seeing stuff in the movie, but previews before the movie. YouTube has a ton of ads.
Even free apps on iPads have ads that pop up too now.
And so it's teaching kids that you need this to feel happy.
Mm-hmm.
This, like, if you aren't feeling happy in your life, this new product is going to get it. Instead of, like, it puts you out of touch with your own emotions, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Or this product solves your new problems and it meets all your needs instead of just, so like, being able to...
To think for yourself about what you need.
Like, what do I need? What, mm-hmm. what do I like?
Right. That's actually one of the benefits of not having cable television is your kids don't see commercials.
Yes, that was one of our compromises, is we do have that for jazz games and BYU basketball. Yeah. And so the deal is that my kids can watch on Friday nights,
mm-hmm.
or they can watch a game with dad.
Oh, that's
so funny. We had to make some compromises because I wanted to stay married.
That's
he likes the no boredom things too, but he definitely would have more electronics than I would.
One thing that I think is a really important thing to mention is to be a good example to them.
I was just thinking
that. Like if you are on your phone constantly and always scrolling or looking at things on your phone or your computer, your kids are going to see that as the norm as well. And so you need to also be an example of putting down your technology, playing with them from time to time, and
creating
yourself,
your own stuff too.
Yeah. Yeah. Letting yourself get creative. Yeah.
And like, yeah, just like we said, we took our music out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have ideas and acting on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can include them, it's fantastic, but it's okay for you to like be bored sometimes.
Yeah.
And be like, what do I want to do?
And for me, having nothing in my head, like for instance, running without the headphones, it's almost like this like mentally clearing time for me where I can like think through the challenges I'm going through and ponder and solve problems. And, you know, it's not even only about being creative necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
We don't all need creativity all the time in our lives, but we do need mental clarity. And so taking these structured things out of your life can give you time to ponder more and to think more through your life situations and come to a sense of clarity that you need.
Yeah. Instead of just tuning it out, mm-hmm. tune into the problem and just mm-hmm. saying, okay, I need some alone time to think, how do I want to handle this?
Yeah.
This thing happened and I want to deal with it.
Yeah.
I think too, it's really great. So if your kids have not been bored and you want to implement this, I think it is really great to have a plan.
Yeah.
So if you're like, hey kids, we're going to be doing this. I've been studying and listening to two awesome ladies talk about the art of being bored. Right. We're going to cut back on screens. We're not even going to do screen daily time, like whatever mm-hmm. it works for your family. I like just a little once a week. Cause then
that's
they're not asking
also.
Me
mm-hmm.
throughout the week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to deal with that. So letting them know, like, we're going to kind of, what's the cute lady who cleans the house? Marie Kondo. Yeah. We're going to Marie Kondo your toys. Like, we're just going to kind of get things down.
Mm-hmm.
So have a plan. And cause then when they come to you, they'll maybe be on board with it. And then eventually they're going to say, I'm bored.
Yeah. So I have a post on my site that has, it's called a board box.
Mm-hmm.
And I put together, it was just a little file card box. And I wrote on note cards, one idea on each note card for, it was mostly like for summertime when my kids were littler, they would come to me with like, what am I supposed to do? What can I do? And so I'd be like, oh, pull out the board box. And it just had just fun little ideas for them to keep them busy and entertained and some really creative ones and some really simple ones. But if you need something like that to get your kids going, if they're not sure how to start that, if they're struggling with coming up with their own ideas, you can create it for them. And I'll share a link to that so you guys can have some
of my
ideas. But there's a lot of, you just Google boredom busters too, and you can find some fun lists of things that can keep your kids busy.
Well, I think too, there was somewhere I was reading and this girl said, I grew up on a farm. You never said I'm bored
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
because that just gave you so much extra work.
It's true. And that's often what I do for my kids as well. If they tell me they're bored, I just tell them the chores that need to be done that they haven't accomplished yet. And they know that. And I was saying that to somebody the other day, and my son walks through as I was saying it. He's like, it's true. She does. So they know that, and they know not to come and complain to me about boredom.
Yeah. Cause as a parent, it's your job to love your kids, not entertain them.
Yeah.
And I think we may have talked about this before, but my neighbor who was like, I'm a cruise director, right? Like it's one activity to the next. And so I think that's what sometimes in the summertime public school people are like, I could never homeschool because I'm constantly entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
So I need a break from them. But maybe that's part of our success is that we are not in this constant mode
mm-hmm.
of entertaining. We have some good habits in place
yeah.
of just like, when you're bored, you figure something out. You create, you study, you learn. The other day, one of my, I think I posted about this. My kid came to me and said, I want to see if I can write an essay so good, like a persuasive essay, so good that nobody could argue it.
I love that.
And it was just so awesome. And it was like, I thought, yeah, go for it.
I'm what not a kid that just like wants to do that.
I know, right?
And isn't assigned it. That's cool.
Yes. And so he, and he's a kid who's fought different school things the most. And so it was interesting when he had free time, he was like, you know, what sounds like a really good idea
is to write an
essay. And the idea to him was exciting.
It's cool.
Was just like, I think, and he wants to join debate. He's not in anything right now. And so he just says, I think they could argue my side really, really well. So it was kind of fun to have him have that free time to let his mind create that.
That is great.
But just know, like, there's maybe a tough transition. And plan on it being a tough transition is the easiest way, instead of like, okay, we cleaned everything out and we're all excited. Even my kids were on board with it. And now it's been a week and people are complaining and crying.
It takes time. Just like any new thing in your family, any new routine, any new structure, it's going to take time to feel normal again. I know there's times when I allow more technology for my kids. Like I let them play on the iPad or something if they're sick. Or just let them, you know, things like that. But then coming back off of it is always kind of this detox period, especially for my youngest. She ends up having to have this detox where she can't function, or she's really grumpy or something for a little while. And it's because of, you know, being used to that. Whereas normally we don't have it as much. So there's definitely going to be some.
Well, that's what somebody told me too. Like when mom's sick, sometimes you'll just like, okay, watch a show. But she goes, I would rather them destroy my house with creating because I can clean up a mess. It's much easier to clean up a mess than detox a TV zombie.
Yeah, it's true.
And so, yeah, last week I got sick and we finally, by the end of the day, I was like, fine, we can all turn something on. And like, we just did one show. We're like, we can do one movie and then we're done. But I don't, it's a legit thing, that little zombie.
It is. It really is. It makes a big difference. So.
And as you're like in and out with them homeschooling every day, that's exhausting if you are fighting this. Like, can I plan something? Can I plan something? Mm-hmm. If it's just no.
Yeah.
Like, then that gets.
It just makes it easier. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I love our, that works for my family once a week.
Yeah.
Once a week they can have, and it's just a nighttime. It's not like a full day of binging, but it's when mom and dad go out, then they can watch and stuff.
Yeah.
And
that's what we do also. Yeah. Friday nights.
Yeah. So the art of being bored, I love it. And it's actually been good for me too. I started quilting.
Oh, good for
like,
you.
Like that's I have hobbies and things I like to do too. And finding time to be bored. Maybe if you have a newborn, you're like, I would love to be bored again. Times and seasons.
Definitely. Well, thank you for tuning in today. We hope you find some valuable tips. We'll see you next week.
See you guys.
Thank you for listening to Called to Homeschool. Be sure to subscribe and we'd love to hear your comments or questions. You can find all our show notes on calledtohome.com.